welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Hey, did you see the story of the very obese cat who died recently? Well, you know that both people and our companion animals are facing a growing epidemic of obesity. In the U.S., as much as 60% of people are considered overweight or obese. And we know all the negative consequences of that: heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, arthritis, and many other medical problems. Similarly, too many of our dogs and cats are significantly overweight. According to the Association of Pet Obesity Prevention, 57% of cats in the U.S. are classified as overweight or obese. So when I saw the story of Meow, the 39-pound orange and white tabby cat who died recently after he became ill in his foster home, I thought, what a shame. That could have been prevented, and really a neglectful situation. When the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society took him in from an elderly woman who could no longer care for him, they started a high-protein, low-carb diet, but it looks like his obesity led to a chain of events which caused his death. So is your cat overweight? Okay, maybe not 300 or 400% heavier than he or she ought to be, but more than 2 or 3 pounds overweight? And do you think it matters in the life of a cat? Well, today we are pleased to be able to get these questions answered and many more because Dr. Marty Becker is with us. Dr. Becker has a new book out entitled Your Cat, The Owner's Manual. Many of you will know Dr. Becker from his frequent TV appearances on Good Morning America and the Dr. Oz show. Dr. Becker's a contributor to Parade magazine and was voted Companion Animals Veterinarian of the Year. He's also the co-author of the fastest-selling pet book in history, Chicken Soup for the Pet Lover's Soul. And listen, you're going to want to stay tuned till the end of the show because near the end of the hour, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Becker's great book. Welcome, Marty.
Hello, my friend. And you know what? I just as well come clean and tell you the truth right off the start. If you take the cover of Your Cat, The Owner's Manual, and you peel back the cover, it actually says You're Human, The Owner's Manual, because those of us that love cats, we know that you're bringing the wild inside, that there's something that can never quite be bent or molded into what we humans want, and that's what we like about them. And we interviewed 20 of the world's top feline experts for this book, and there's such good stuff in there that even people that are feline experts, people from Australia and Canada and mostly from the U.S., but England, they even found things that they didn't know in this book. But let's be honest, this stuff might work for 10 days straight, and on the 11th day, not a single thing that's in that book will work. It's just the way cats are, and those of us that love it, we love the mystery and the fact that they're you know, such a magnificent, independent animal.
Absolutely. Marty, as you heard, I opened up with the story of the very fat cat who recently died. What's your impression of the prevalence of overweight domestic cats? Is it as high as 57% as stated by the Pet Obesity Association?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually practicing as a veterinarian today, so I don't just, you know, play a veterinarian on TV. I'm a practicing veterinarian, and while fat cats are funny in cartoons, in real life they're like little tubby time bombs ticking away their practice health, ticking away their health. And you see a mirror image of what you see on humans. You see joint problems, you see diabetes, you see respiratory problems, skin issues, increased risk of cancer, high blood pressure. And, you know, here at North Idaho Animal Hospital, in Lakewood Animal Hospital, where I practice in northern Idaho, I think about 1 out of 2 pets are overweight or obese. And, you know, these pets will dig their grave with their food bowl. And luckily, it's for us, we control, you know, what we put in the bowl, how much we put in the bowl, how often we put it in the bowl. And we've got to get out of the mindset that food equals love. We've got to really be diligent in you know, doing portion control and feeding exactly the right food. And one of the things we talk about in the book is throwing away food bowls. And this sounds like, what? What do I feed them out of? And I can tell you at Almost Heaven Ranch in northern Idaho, we haven't used a food bowl for dogs or cats for 4 years. We use food puzzles. And for those pets that eat kibble, you load them like a slot machine, and that has to be dropped and turned and spun and manipulated somehow for kibble to come out. So you're kind of recreating the hunt in a non-lethal way. We have one cat that's on a prescription diet that's a canned food, and we simply split up the portions and put it in a part of the house where the cat has to go on a scavenger hunt to find the little portions of food. But there's all sorts of ways that you can, you know, increase activity, more monitor food, and keep their ideal body weight. And the lucky thing is, besides them just having a happier, healthier, fuller life, when I say a fuller life, they're going to live 15% longer, which is an average of 2 years. So the furry fountain of youth is keeping them at or near their ideal body weight. And the other thing is daily oral care, which we can talk about, too, how you do that with a cat.
Yeah. What problems or issues are people likely to encounter as they try to get their cats to be thinner?
Well, you know, one of the problems is, you know, it's much easier to keep them from getting fat than it is to have them get fat and try to reduce it. And, you know, I've never seen a dog yet. I've been a veterinarian over 30 years, and I've never seen a dog go on a hunger strike and die from hunger. I mean, they always will end up eating, finally. And you can make them lose weight, but for a cat, it's very dangerous. It can be fatal, as we know, where they actually start to auto-digest their body. They get a lipemia or fat in the bloodstream, and it ends up causing all sorts of major problems, up to and including death. So you want to work with a veterinarian and figure out what the pet's ideal body weight is, a strategy for getting the weight off, which includes special diets. It might include some FDA-approved products that actually can use to help the pet lose weight. There are, you know, people always look at the store and you see this light food. And, you know, prescription diets that are made like, you know, from Hill's Prescription Diets or the ones that are made from Royal Canin or Purina Veterinary Care, these aren't light versions of regular food. They're specially designed foods that have low calories, low fat, high fiber. It's kind of like, you know, tastes great, less, more filling, but it actually helps burn fat off and increase lean muscle mass. And so some people have thought, I can't get the weight off. It's the fact you're not feeding the right food. And then there's some other strategies they can help you with as well. Some are little chemical crutches to help them. And also finding out ways to get them more active again. Inside every cat, even the one that's so fat that the only way they're going to catch a mouse is if it's drawn into their gravitational pull because they're like a planet, there's a hunter inside waiting to be exercised a little more, and that's another key component.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the importance of mental stimulation later. Thank you for mentioning that. So, Dr. Becker, talking about food here, is it desirable for cats to eat a variety of foods, like wet and dry? I mean, one of my cats is so darn picky. I mean, she will eat just one type of dry food. That's it. That's her whole diet.
One of the things we talk about in the book is when you have kittens or young cat, you want to feed them different kinds of food that have different shapes because some cats will just imprint on one shape. They might want to eat a star or a little triangular kind of kibble because that's what they started with. So when they're very young, it's really good to mix it up. So just like you're, you know, teaching your young children to eat their vegetables, eat their fruits, eat the meat, eat the different things, you want to mix it up. You know, and dry and kibble are both really good. Semi-moist is not as good. Dry kibble and canned food both, you know, are about the same for dental health. These semi-moist foods actually have some sugars in them, and they actually cause more periodontal disease. But if we had to choose between a canned food and a dry food, for most cats we like canned food because cats are desert dwellers. They tend to be kind of chronically dehydrated, and so it just gets more water in them. The protein content is higher, and so, you know, we tend to default to that. And another thing that you can do, probably the cheapest thing that you can do for a healthier cat and to save trips to the veterinarian, is to invest in a water fountain. They're about $25. You can buy them at any pet store online. And, you know, cats are drawn to the sound of running water. That's why cats love to drink out of the faucet, out of the shower, even out of the toilet. And by investing in that, these cats are going to drink more water, and they're going to be healthier, and they're going to be sick less often.
And Dr. Becker, how about grass? They sell grass in little containers at the market or seeds to grow grass for cats. Is grass okay or desirable for cats?
You know, we used to think it was kind of a legend. You were taught in veterinary school or you knew as a pet owner that when pets ate grass, they were trying to make themselves sick. So they had some kind of nausea. And I can tell you at Almost Heaven Ranch now, all our dogs and all our cats are grazing like cattle. They're out there this, you know, the springtime, the little tender blades of grass, and they're all eating grass. The fact is they like the taste of it. You know, cats are what we call obligate carnivores. They have to eat meat. Whereas dogs and humans are omnivores. They can eat plant-based proteins and animal-based proteins. They can take plant-based proteins, and they have the enzymes to turn those into the amino acids they need. Cats can't convert vegetable proteins to necessary amino acids like taurine. And that's why if you feed dog food to a cat, there's a good chance they're going to go blind because of this lack of taurine, which is needed for eye health. But eating grass is something they love to do. And for those people that don't have, you know, have indoor-only cats, it's a really great thing to grow grass for you.
Great. We got to take a break. You're listening to Dr. Marty Becker. His new book is entitled Your Cat, The Owner's Manual. Don't go away. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Welcome back to Animal Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're speaking to well-known author and veterinarian Dr. Marty Becker. We're talking about his new book, which is entitled Your Cat, The Owner's Manual. Really, really a lot of information in there. Good stuff. Marty, I want to move on to some health issues concerning cats. And I'll tell you, the American Veterinary Medical Association has a radio campaign out in which we are reminded that cats can be better than dogs at hiding illnesses, so they need regular checkups. They call it the Is Your Cat Healthy campaign. Marty, what do you think about that? And because, you know, some cats get so stressed out when they get into their carrier or even just leave the house.
Well, you know, let's talk about two issues here. One, there's a saying, sick is supper. So when you're sick, you're supper in the wild. So that's why birds, cats, dogs try to hide their illnesses, especially birds and especially cats. So they mask their pain. They mask the fact that they're sick because inside their brain they don't want to be preyed upon. So it's up to us to know those kind of signs. You know, 80% of the primary caregivers are women. So, you know, it's just like Dr. Mom that's out there that knows when their kid aren't acting quite right. You know, they're just, their appetite's different, their bathroom habits are different, they're acting different. It's the same thing with cats. And, you know, if you have a dog and it has arthritis, you know, it might have painful swollen joints, you notice it's stiff or there's, you know, it's limping or there's decreased activity. How about a cat that has arthritis, which is really common in cats? It might be that they don't use the litter box because it actually hurts to climb up in the litter box. They're not grooming themselves as well. You notice that they used to be sleek and shiny and no patches of, you know, hair, you know, rough hair on them or increased hair balls. They're not climbing that cat tier, getting up in the window. That's probably arthritis. And it's so if your cats, you know, if their activity level has changed, they're less playful, their bathroom habits have changed, those are probably signs that something is wrong. The last time I practiced as a veterinarian, I had a lady come in and said, my cat's meowing differently at night. And she goes, I know something's wrong. And she was really in tune with her cat. And when I looked it over, I didn't see anything obvious. We ran some blood work, never found anything on the blood work. I went back and decided to go from the tip of the nose to the tip of the tail again. And I went along its teeth and looked at it, and I tapped one of the teeth with a hemostat, a little instrument, and the cat, you know, literally went up into outer space and took a dental radiograph, and sure enough, it had an abscessed tooth. But it just can't say, my tooth is killing me. You know, this is why I'm cranky. This is why I'm not eating. This is why I'm meowing differently at night. But, you know, let's talk about going to the veterinarian, because I have a little 3-year-old granddaughter who's scared of the dark, and I'll tell you what cat owners are scared of. One is going to the veterinarian, and even worse is going to the veterinarian and the veterinarian saying, listen, you got to give your cat this medicine twice a day for a week. And we're like, no, I can't do it. Oh,
right.
No.
Right.
And, you know, we have a lot of tips in the book for having a fear-free visit to the veterinarian. And it includes keeping the kennel out, the cage out, like fun furniture. You know, you don't just bring it out the day before or the morning of the veterinary visit. You leave it out. You give treats in it. You spritz pheromones inside of it. You also, speaking of pheromones, when a cat rubs against you with their cheek, they're marking you with a pheromone called the feline cheek pheromone. There's a synthetic version of that that you can buy called Feelaway, F-E-L-I-W-A-Y. And if you're having problems with inappropriate elimination in your house, if you're having problems with a cat scratching the wrong thing, if you have inner cat aggression, or you just want to calm your cat down to go to the veterinarian, you simply spray the feel away inside the kennel, and it's like giving your cat three glasses of wine. Or if it's in the house, there's a diffuser you plug in the wall, like a Bath and Body Works or a Glade diffuser into a plug-in. It's like all the cats are sitting around having three glasses of wine, and just everybody's getting along. You take a towel from the house, and you have all the scents of the house, and you drape it over the cage, and you can literally have a fear-free visit for a cat. And let's talk about the scariest thing, giving a cat medication. I'm going to tell your listeners something that comes from the book that's a tip that they're not going to believe. There's a thing called clipnosis. And anybody that's had a litter of kittens, seen a litter of kittens, or have even watched something on, say, Animal Planet about house cats or the big cats in Africa, you see a kitten being picked up by its mother and carried from nest to nest. And the cat goes completely limp. It's like they're paralyzed. There's a center there on the back of their neck that relaxes them. There's a product called clipnosis, and you can put it on the back of a cat, and this works at any age. And they just go completely relaxed. They'll just sit there. You can open their mouth. You can give them medication. You can trim their nails. You can brush them out. And when you're done, you just simply remove the clip, and it's like a hypnotist clicking their fingers and taking them out of a trance. Everything's back to normal. And when they've done blood work, this was developed at the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine. There's none of the stress hormones. There's not cortisol. There's not spikes in epinephrine. Just got a very relaxed cat in a natural way. It's almost like having an on-off switch. So everybody out there that couldn't trim their nails, couldn't get their pet's medication, here is literally a miracle solution that causes no pain. In fact, I've showed clients before, I've clipped it onto my lip or put it onto my skin, it doesn't hurt at all.
That is such great information. And I just want to tell my listeners, if they go to vetstreet.com, Marty just has a load of information there. So this is great, Dr. Becker. You know, talking about cats and vet visits, you know, so many people think that cats are just so self-supporting. Should people take their cats for regular health checks?
Well, you know what? It's what people fear is it's so stressful for the cat and it's so stressful for the person that takes a cat in that they tend not to take him in. Plus the cat, again, they hide their illnesses. So you got a cat that hides its illnesses, somebody that doesn't want to take it in because of the stress to the cat or the person, and it's critically important. You know, a veterinarian, you know, like myself, I have 30 years of training. I've seen tens of thousands of animals, so I have the training, I have the experience. And when we do that tip of the nose to the tip of the tail exam, you know, we're flipping the lip, we're flipping the flap of the ear, we're looking in the eyes, we're looking in the ears, we're feeling all the sentinel lymph nodes, we're listening to the heart, the lungs, we're palpating the abdomen, all these different things that we do, this ballet of sorts, what you want to do is catch things early on before they cause unnecessary pain, expense, or worse. And, you know, those of us that love cats, I have four cats at home who I love, they just don't make us feel good. They're actually good for us. One of the 20 books I've written is called The Healing Power of Pets. And we talk in the book, there's studies out that show that if you have a cat, you're 40% less likely to have any cardiovascular incident. That includes a heart attack or a stroke compared to non-cat owners. If you have cats early in life for children, they're going to have less allergies, asthma, and eczema their entire life. It doesn't work as they get older. You need to have them when they're very young. So like my 3-year-old granddaughter, who's around, you know, two dogs and two cats, she's going to literally be immunized against allergies, asthma, and eczema. And in the past, you always heard, oh, gosh, you know, you don't want a cat if you have allergies. Well, you know, if you have bad allergies and then you get a cat, it's not good. But if you have a cat from the start, you're not going to have the allergies, asthma, and eczema. And there's 7 really good peer-reviewed studies on that. And speaking of allergies, the number one pet owner.
You know what? There's a lot of questions on allergies that I got to ask you, Dr. Becker. So hang tight. You're listening to Animal Today. We just got to take a quick break. This is Dr. Marty Becker. We're talking about his new book entitled Your Cat, The Owner's Manual. Go to his website, too, vetstreet.com, vetstreet.com. Don't go away.
Running to and fro, hard working at the mail, never fail at the mail, yet come around the mail. Ow! Too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to imbibe.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're talking to Dr. Marty Becker. Marty, you know, we were talking about allergies just before the break. People claim to be allergic to cats. Many people say they would adopt a cat, even, except for their allergies. How common is that? And is it true that any cat might trigger an allergic reaction?
Well, I tell you, the cats are the worst. If you don't have a cat, for gosh sakes, don't get a black male cat. Black cats are about 10 times worse for allergies than white cats. And males are worse than females, and unneutered males are worse than neutered males. What allergies are caused by is a protein in the saliva. And when the cats groom themselves, it dries and becomes part of dander. Dander is carried by the hair, so hair doesn't cause allergies. It just carries the dander. And so there's two things you can do. One is use a product called the Furminator. It sounds like the Terminator, but it's the Furminator. Don't buy a knockoff. Buy that brand, but it removes the undercoat and the loose hair, so it ends up in the trash can along with the dander rather than around the house and on you. And then when about once a day, just wipe your cats down with an unscented baby wipe, and that wipes that dander off and really reduces the allergy load. And then if you're going to get a cat, you know, just, you know, get a light-skinned, light-haired cat. Get a female and get them spayed, and they'll have a lot less allergies.
That's great advice, because so many people will just claim that they just don't want a cat, or otherwise they would adopt one and save a life, but they just don't want to do that because they think they have allergies. So those are great tips to live comfortably with a cat. Marty, let's move on to a different topic I'm sure people wonder about. Should I be brushing my cat's teeth? This is another potentially stressful thing for a cat.
Well, I have to be honest. We brush our dog's teeth every day, but we don't brush our cat's teeth. So I'm just going to be honest. A very small percentage of people do brush their cat's teeth, and it is the best. That is the gold standard, is brushing their teeth. And if you start from the time they're a kitten, you know, they're in flavors like salmon and tuna, so they're meant to be swallowed. They like it, and so you can do it. But the key is doing some kind of daily oral care. And everybody, you know, good is to just put something in the water. So use a supplement in the water, and every cat has to drink. Better is to take advantage of a cat's tendency to chew. And there's some things like CET, Hextra chews for cats that are loaded with chlorhexidine. So they're kind of like an edible toothbrush. And there are some dental sealants that you can have your veterinarian put on that will last about 6 months. So the key, either add the water, give them a dental chew, get their teeth sealed, or just plan on regular professional care.
Dr. Becker, talk about parasite control in cats. And I guess the same similar note there, I bet you hear this question often, but do I have to vaccinate my cats? Let's say they never leave the house and they're vaccinated as kittens. What, if anything, is required?
Well, 50% of dog owners are on have their dogs on heartworm preventive. Only 5% of cat owners. But there just was a year-long study of cats in the Gulf Coast region in shelters, and they found out that 27% of all these cats had been exposed to heartworm disease sometime in their life. 10% had a current adult heartworm infection. And to put that in perspective, 5% of cats get leukemia, 6% of cats get feline immunodeficiency virus, or FIV, but 10% have heartworm. And heartworm really causes a lot of respiratory problems, including death in cats. But of the cats that were positive for heartworm, 27% were indoor-only cats. So people are often thinking, well, why, you know, I don't need it to prevent them, protect them if they're an indoor-only cat. But it just takes one mosquito to cause heartworm disease. And so all cats should be on preventives. And also, Ted Nugent, he sang about cat scratch fever, dun, dun, dun. That disease is actually called cat scratch disease. It's the single most common zoonotic disease, as diseases transmissible from animals to people. And what they're finding now, Hemobartonella is carried by biting insects, so fleas, ticks, and other biting insects. And cats get Hemobartonella. It's in their claws. And there's now finding a link between Hemobartonella and chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and rheumatoid arthritis in humans. And so by using lifetime parasite control for your cats, my favorite product there is a product called Revolution. By using it, what it does, it takes care of heartworm, takes care of fleas, takes care of internal parasites, even kills ear mites. by using that product once a month, year round, you're not only protecting your cat, you're protecting the human family members as well. And my mantra is always, get rid of the risk, keep the pet. You know, I wrote the book, The Healing Power of Pets. I know the positive benefits. The risks are you get a lot more gain than the risk, but you do have to, you know, take some necessary precautions, and that's probably the biggest single one is lifetime parasite control. And as far as vaccinations, we used to do vaccinations was the reason you went to see the veterinarian, and really a trained monkey could do it. It's like the veterinary equivalent of a lube oil filter. We know a lot more now that vaccines last longer, so you still want the yearly exam. But, you know, at that time we'll determine what, if any, vaccinations are needed. But now most of the vaccines are spread out over about every 3 years, except, you know, if rabies is required yearly by law. So it's a lot less on the vaccinations and a lot more on nutrition, dental care, parasite control, early detection of diseases. That's where the real value of your relationship with your veterinarian is.
We are broadcasting here from the Southern California desert, and we have found it quite risky for cats to be unattended outdoors due to predators like coyotes and birds of prey, as well as cars. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of the rescue groups here won't even adopt out to cats when the potential guardian says they're going to let their cats outdoors. What do you advise your clients? Because there's this notion that cats are happier if they can go outdoors.
Well, there's studies out by Purdue University College of Veterinary Medicine that indoor-only cats live 3.5 times longer than outdoor cats. And what you can do, there's nothing wrong with bringing you know, a little bit of the outdoors to an indoor cat. There's some really good cat enclosures. We talk about that in the book that you can use where the cat can get out and it can, you know, feel grass on its feet and it can chase a bug and get a splash of the sunshine vitamin, but it's safe out there. It's not going to escape and other cats are not going to be able to come in and attack your cat. But, you know, cats are perfectly happy inside if you take some steps for enrichment. A lot of suburban homes and urban apartments are like zoos of 30 or 40 years ago where people think, okay, take care of food, take care of water, veterinary care, you know, good place to sleep, everything's fine. And we know that we need more enrichment activities. So, you know, one of the things that we find out about cats, they love vertical space. And so one of the tips we talk about is taking bookshelves. You just go to a local hardware store, home improvement store, buy bookshelves about big enough for one cat and just stair-step them up a wall, and you'll find cats sitting up there like a, you know, prized edition of books. Because they're both prey and predator, they like to get up high. When they're in the predator mode, they're looking for supper. When they're in the prey thing, they like to feel safe. And so cats can get away from other cats, get away from dogs, get away from things, and you can really reduce the stress and increase the happiness of a cat by having climbing trees, putting shelves up, putting the feel away I spoke above earlier, using food puzzles. All of those things are going to make a cat that is very happy, contented, and healthy.
And just to reemphasize, I know I read in your book you do believe exercise and play is very important to keeping your cat
well,
not only physically but mentally.
Wants to kill something with a heartbeat. You know, deep inside, they're still a hunter. They're still in those wilds of Africa wanting to hunt. And you just have to figure out activities. Like I have barn cats, and we play every day. You know, lots of things. I use a cat dancer, you know, looks like a fishing pole with a feather on the end of it. We'll use wind-up
sure.
toys, use laser pointers, use things that have different kinds of, you know, a real mouse kind of sounds that are recorded. And they love that activity. They love to be handled. They're not solitary animals. And we, you know, one of the things, like for cats, is you find out different places they like to be scratched. They love to be scratched under the chin. They love at the base of the ear. They love at the base of the tail. They don't like it on the stomach. And a lot of people make the mistake of, you know, the cat will roll over and they rub their stomach. And when a cat's on its back with its stomach exposed, when it's in the, you know, thinking it's a prey, it's about to die. And that's why they'll bite you or hook you with their claws. And if that ever does happen, by the way, just relax. Don't pull away. Just relax and the cat will let you go. But, you know, whether you've had cats your whole life or you're just getting a cat, I really think there's tips in your cat, the owner's manual, from 20 of the world's top experts. And me, I've had cats since I was a kid, and I'm, you know, 57 years old, and I've been a practicing veterinarian for 30 years. There's a lot of things in there, the, you know, secret surprises and solutions for a happier, healthier cat.
The book is Your Cat, The Owner's Manual. It's just loaded with great information. Also, go to vetstreet.com for some more tips and great information. This is Dr. Marty Becker. Marty, thanks so much for appearing on Animals Today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. It was a great interview, and everybody out there that has a cat, like I said, just think of this book as You're a Human, The Owner's Manual.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Marty. Okay, don't go away. We have Peter in the News coming up next on Animals Today. That's a pretty good song you just picked, Peter.
That squeeze.
Okay.
So I wanted to tell our listeners that you can get a free copy of Becker's book, Dr. Marty's Becker book, Your Cat, The Owner's Manual. But to do it, you have to go to the Animals Today Facebook page and make sure you're our friend. And then you want to write a little story about the cutest thing that your cat does. And we're going to leave that open for a few days. And the cutest story, we will get you a book mailed right to your home. And you want this book. It really, you know, we see a lot of cat books that come through. This is really a good one. And everyone, boy, this 20th book.
Yeah, but this one really is loaded.
So go to the Animals Today Facebook page and tell us about your cat.
Good now, contest.
Now, the interesting dog story, okay?
Okay.
You can do a MRI scan on a dog and learn about what the dog is thinking.
Oh.
So there's a new line of research, okay? It's done with dogs that are trained using positive reinforcement, and they've trained the dogs to walk right into the MRI scanner, and then their dogs are looking at the handler, and the handler shows them one hand or two hands, and they've trained the dogs to anticipate a hot dog treat. And using functional MRI, you can see that the caudate part of the brain lights up if the dog thinks it's about to get a little hot dog.
Okay, and what's the point?
The point is, hopefully, that we're going to be able to learn really what dogs are thinking about and thinking about us.
Okay.
So, and hopefully that will contribute something to the human-animal bond and our understanding about what's going on in the brains of dogs and what's it like to be a dog.
Maybe they could do that with cats, too.
They'd probably be able to do that with cats, although you do have to have a very willing dog to want to get up there. It's really loud. They have to use earmuffs to protect their ears. But it's an interesting line of research. No negative reinforcement used, no restraints. Your dog's just walking up into the MRI scanner. I'm setting his head in the little holder. Can't move more than a millimeter or two.
Okay?
So that's a very good dog.
Okay.
Okay, so we have recently received and reviewed three products I want to tell you about.
Okay.
Okay, the first one, which we like very much, is called Frosty Bowls with a Z. And this is a pet water bowl, but it has a reusable, freezable core. And you put this sort of a cup or a donut-shaped thing in your freezer, you get it nice and cold, and then you put the stainless steel bowl on top of it, and it also has a sort of splash area, and it keeps your water cool when you're outdoors in the heat for hours and hours.
That's good, especially here in the desert when the dogs are outside and the bowl's outside for hours. That's good.
And we've tested this. It's very durable.
Yep.
It does work.
Yep.
And go to Frosty Bowls. We love
good.
It. Okay?
Good.
Now, Dr. Becker was talking about getting your cats to drink enough water, and that's something you can do for their health.
Yeah.
And one way to encourage this is to get that little cat fountain.
Right.
And the one we've been testing recently is from PetMate, and it's called the Deluxe Fresh Flow.
Yeah.
Okay? It actually comes in two sizes, and the one we're using, we've got the cat is just using it beautifully. I see Uzo took right to it.
Uzo took right to it. She likes the running water out of the sink, too. She'll meow to ask us to turn on the sink. And Rita is starting to take to it. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen
it. Yeah, she walked up to it and said, okay, this looks pretty good.
So this
fresh water.
This is a fairly inexpensive device. They sell for $39.99 or $59.99. You fill it up with water. The instructions are pretty easy. You plug it in, and then you get a little stream going down a ramp, and they can drink that directly or drink out of the reservoir, and it keeps things flowing around.
Yeah,
there.
It's really great, because also in Marty's book I read that you don't want to just keep a glass or bowl of water out there. I mean, it gets slimy. You got to change it at least twice a day. So this really, if you don't like changing your cat's water or cleaning the dish, this is really a great way.
We hooked ours up, I don't know if you saw it, to a little timer.
I did see you
so
do that.
So I got a $7 wall timer, and so then it goes on and off whenever I want.
Why don't you just leave it on the whole time?
I think I'm trying to be economical.
Okay, okay.
Or at least give them a, they can hear the sound and then go to it.
Okay, give them a little extra
so
stimulation.
That's the pet made of
okay.
Fresh flow.
Okay, very good.
And then my favorite is this little Honeywell Pet Clean Air Purifier. Okay, so you know they make these large, fairly expensive HEPA or HEPA-like air purifiers. Okay, and these are mostly tower things, and they make a whole bunch of noise, and they are designed for sort of larger rooms. Some of them have UV light. Some of them make ozone.
Yeah.
And they are fairly effective, and they have these, you know, high-grade filters. Well, we received a smaller version from a Honeywell called the Pet Clean Air, and we've been testing that in a smaller room. It's about the size of a toaster oven. It has a couple of different speeds, and it also has some other features.
It's quiet.
I think it's working great.
Do you? Can you tell already?
I really think so.
Yeah.
Because you have to have reasonable expectations with a relatively small unit. It's not designed to make your whole house smell wonderful. Okay.
Right.
You have to use it in a relatively small room.
Right.
And keep it on. And just let it do its job. You change the filters very rarely, okay? And we're very happy with that. This one is $69.99.
Yeah.
So that is the Pet Clean Air from Honeywell. So thanks for letting us check that out.
Yeah, it was a nice little product review. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So why don't you tell my listeners again how they can win a copy of Marty Becker's great
book. So you go to Animals Today on Facebook and become our friend, and then type in why you think you're the cutest thing that your cat does.
That's
okay,
good.
And we're going to leave it open for a few days, and we're going to judge based upon arbitrary and personal criteria who the winner is going to be, and we will announce it, and then the publisher will send you a copy of this great book. And this is really the inaugural contest we're going to have, because as you might imagine, we have a lot of neat stuff that we're going to share with you in the Animals Today community.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, Peter, his book is full of information. There's one question I really did want to ask him when we were on the topic of bringing your cat to the vet. Remember when we brought Rita to the vet? We brought her home.
Yeah.
And Uzo just didn't even recognize her. Wanted
right.
to attack her and hissed at her and slapped at her.
Yeah.
And I read in his book that he gives some great tips to prevent that.
Yes.
Like bringing both cats to the vet, or when you get home, rub it in front of their ears. That releases,
the
pheromones. Anyway, great tips. I'm not going to try to wrongly give misinformation about what he's trying to say, but good information, great book. Anything else, Peter?
No, I. It was great watching him operate. 20 books.
Yeah.
I just want to repeat that.
Okay.
I've written a couple of textbooks in my life, but imagine having enough to say that you need 20 books to say.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. Thank you for listening. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.